I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York City.
I'm a Scorpio.
I'm a Taurus.
I'm a man.
And I'm a woman.
We are both very different.
And yet, we have a lot to talk about.
We are talking about working on a cruise ship. Something like that.
What do we decide? We'll take everyone through from the beginning to the end, how it works.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So cruise ships are still going, even though coronavirus is running rampant.
Some are canceled, though. So
some are canceled. Yeah. But yeah. Regardless, our jobs are still lost. So we aren't doing that.
Gone.
But so today I guess we'll talk about how we got into working on a cruise ship, what we did on the cruise ship, what it's like on a cruise ship. Yeah, so tell me, how did you start on a cruise ship?
Basically, it all started when I lost my job.
That's how all new jobs start.
Yes. I was thinking of doing a cruise job or playing music on a cruise ship before I actually applied, because I knew a few guys who did it. Because music scene in Novi Sad, I know a few people who went to the cruise ships to play.
What did you do before you were thinking about going into music full time?
Before I was working in printing shops, so I'm a printing technician. So I was working on a printing machine, doing some kind of a design.
Mm-hmm.
So and pre-production basically, but most of the time I was doing just printing or working on a printing machine and doing those kind of things. So yeah, I mean, I didn't work just on one machine. I work on all kinds of machines and different types of printing and different materials.
Mm-hmm.
Blah blah blah. So yeah, that was the beginning of me okay, I lost my job, I can't find something, but maybe this is the moment that I actually put into action the idea of me going on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
So and Mirko, he gave me a Facebook profile of a guy. So what we end up doing is basically you go, you work for the cruise company, but you go through agency. They're doing auditions and
they're filtering through who's going to be on what ship.
Yeah. That kind of deal. So, and he was a manager, basically, for that firm. And he gave me his contact, and one thing led to another. I just contacted him, blah, blah, blah. Then basically we needed to make a band, and he got me in touch with some people that were also looking for a band, and then we basically made a band for that specific job. It took a year, by the way, before we actually got on the ship and were starting to earn money.
So. Yeah. That's a long time before you actually get the job started. For me it was quicker though, because it wasn't last minute, but I mean, in retrospect, because when you're uprooting your whole life to go to another country, that's, you don't really want to do that in a month. I had a friend who actually was called in to work for AIDA a week before her contract began in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story. Anyway, I had a friend who had worked for AIDA, and she was like, oh my God, you should audition for them. They're having auditions soon. And I was like, okay. Now in New York, everybody auditions for everything all the time. So you're just kind of whatever. But in this case, I was able to apply online ahead of time to get an appointment. And when you get an appointment, that's the perfect situation. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to wait in line for hours and hours. I mean, audition life in New York could be a podcast episode in itself, because it is a long process. Oh, yeah. But basically, I went into this audition while at the same time I was also auditioning for a national tour in the U.S. And I was I don't really care about this cruise ship. So I didn't really put much effort into everything. Of course, I learned all the materials they wanted, but I wasn't, my heart wasn't in invested. Everything. I was just going through the motions, and I ended up going all the way. And then what they do with cruise lines is you basically, when you quote go all the way through the process, they put all of your information on a card that they then put in a file, and they either will call you at some point or they'll never call you that year, and then you have to re-audition again the next year. And oh, so yeah. I've been on cards for multiple companies, so I was just like, oh, cool, whatever.
Yeah, one more company for that.
Exactly. Yeah. So this was May, and then by June, no, earlier than that, by like May, I got an email from them offering me to start in Hamburg for rehearsals, and I was like, cool. So I decided to do it because my brother lives in Italy, so I was like, this would be a great opportunity to visit him, which I never ended up seeing him because once you are in Hamburg, you're stuck in Hamburg to work because it's a lot of rehearsal process, 2 months rehearsals. What was the rehearsal process for you guys in the band? Did you, like, how did you prep for the audition to get in?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Also, during that period of the whole year, basically, they changed a manager, so we ended up going to audition later when they changed the managers, and it was like we were kind of in limbo, I guess, for like a few months. That was like a summer, and around like maybe 2-3 weeks before audition, we got in touch with the new manager. It was a girl this time, and anyway, she like told us that basically it's not difficult, but it was really a limbo of like 5 months, and we knew the songs that we have to learn. You know, the system is basically the more or less the same songs for every band, more or less. So we were learning songs. We didn't like waste time, but we were not sure if anything is happening. So mind you, we are like going into, some of us are working. I was working some job for a few months, actually decent job, that I quit because we got audition and we got like a contract. So I quit that. Yeah, and we were like basically like 4 or 5 days of rehearsal a week, like I said, and then you're going into the like unknown a little bit. So
how long did you guys rehearse then before you actually got on the ship, before you embarked?
Yeah, close to a year, I guess. A little bit less. So let's say,
oh, okay. So you had plenty of time to actually get like what, like 200 songs together for the set?
Yeah. For the first contract, it was like 150. I think even less, but don't put that. I just got
so I'm leaving it in, of course.
Yeah. So yeah, who cares? Yeah, I think even less, but whatever. I mean, it was, let me think. We actually auditioned for other company first, for not for AIDA, but for MSC, I think. A little bit of different conditions. Can't remember. So we basically declined, but it was like a kind of a limbo, like I said, for a few months. Then all of a sudden, like, we have a audition, and that was not so difficult because you basically do a medley up to like 15 minutes, usually around 10 of like medley of songs. I think we have like 10 songs. It was okay. We you know, you just rehearse that medley and it's stuck in your head. It's not a problem. It was a little bit nerve-wracking for me, because I'm a drummer, so I started, I think like out of 10 songs, I started like 8 or something. So, you know, if I mess it up, it's messed up. So, yeah, but so it was great. I didn't like make a mistake, and it was good. So things were happening fast after that. So we basically knew tomorrow, and then we have to go, as you know, to do like safety certificates to Hungary, to Budapest. We went one weekend. Yeah, beginning of the December we got contract, and we first time we met on January that year. So people from the band.
Yeah. So you got your safety certificate before you started rehearsing together?
No, after we got contract.
Yeah, in December. Then you met in January.
Yeah, we had 3 months basically, and then you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we are going onto the ship, but we need a certificate before.
Yeah.
So
for everyone, to explain to everybody, so what we're talking about with safety certificates, every seafarer needs a certificate that lasts for 5 years that certifies you to be working on a cruise ship, because there's safety measures. Everyone, regardless of whether you're a performer or not, has safety duties and just general understanding of how the ship works and everything like that. The seafarer has to go through this training, and it costs like a bunch of money, and like you have to pay for it up front, and then you get reimbursed after a certain amount of time. Luckily for me, I didn't quite make the cut of days last year, and I was supposed to be on another cruise for 8 months, so I would have gotten my refund, but a little thing called Corona got in the way, so
yeah,
I ended up just eating that money. But anyways, the safety course is actually, I think it's actually so interesting, and now it's made me much more aware of fire safety, because they like show you all the ways that like a fire can start, so of course I have a new fear. But I actually, so you guys had to go to Hungary to do it, but for everybody in the show ensemble, so Alex was in the band, which was a different part of the entertainment, and I was in the show ensemble, which was like the people who do like song and dance, not just music.
Yeah, theater.
And we all meet, yeah, the theater, and we all met in Hamburg, and anyone who hadn't worked for AIDA before went through a course together. So I worked with other people from other ships, which was really cool, because we got to meet people who were in the company who we wouldn't be working with.
Yeah.
So that's where we did our safety course.
So we went to the Budapest for 4 days, I think. It was like, it was during the week.
Oh, shorter than ours. Ours was a full week.
No. Let me think. It was... No, it was like 4 or 5 days, something like that. It was beginning on Friday and ending up on Monday, something like that. So we did went out and like have fun in the night, because it was a weekend, and whoever went to Budapest, it's like bars everywhere and clubs, so it's great.
I think it was, so there were 4 theater people that were taking this course, but they were also anybody who was going to a ship in the next week or longer. Like in some cases, basically if you had a contract with AIDA and you were German, you go to Hamburg to take the safety course, and then they send you to a ship at any given time whenever your contract starts.
Yeah.
So our class, also it was really fun because in our class, it was me, an English guy, a Swedish girl, and a Dutch guy. And I would say Nick, the guy who's Dutch, understood a lot more about what was going on in like the German classroom than the rest of us, because I just remember like, so in Germany at the end of a class, they do this thing where they like pound the almost like you know, instead of clapping after something, they'll pound the table.
Really?
Yes. And the first time it happened after class, it was like all of us, like I looked over at the English guy, the Tim, I like looked at him and both of our eyes just got wide, and we were just like, I guess now we start pounding the table too. But it was really great because we got to meet a bunch of German AIDA people before we even started rehearsals for AIDA, and a bunch of people that we actually took the class with. I mean, there's thousands of people that work for AIDA. There was a few people in our class that we ended up actually working with, like Udo, who was our nurse.
Yeah.
He was in our safety course.
Oh, really?
It was
really
cool. And it was a huge surprise because at the time, none of them knew where or when they were going on contract. So it was just like a nice surprise that halfway through our contract, one of the guys that we took a safety course with
when we were stuck on the ship, Udo and me play basketball with the Filipinos. I mean, they're crazy about basketball, so we were just playing like 15 minutes, then we die, then I die, then he goes in. So we were interchanging him and me, yeah. So he was like in class with interesting. So that was happening before your rehearsals or in the middle of it?
So that was before rehearsals. And then we had rehearsals where for us, so you guys learned 150 songs. We learned like 8 shows, but it depends on which ship you go on.
Yeah, same for the bands.
Yeah. So the idea. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you guys shows, have yeah. a different theme every night. Yeah. Oh. So the idea is that for every night of the cruise, there's entertainment that's new. And then the cycle repeats. So for Ankara, which is the ship that Alex and I are on, it's mostly 2-week cruises. So the same passengers are on for 2 weeks. And we entertain them every night with a new show. And then it just repeats when the next group comes on. So I guess now let's transition to talking about embarking the ship and the process of walking. What your first day is like when you get on the ship. Because honestly, I don't think anyone... I remember trying to read about this before I got on the ship because I always like to be informed. Mm-hmm. And there's truly nothing that can prepare you for the first day of working on a cruise ship. It's...
Yes.
12 hours or 24 hours of craziness.
That's true. There is nothing that that can prepare you for no. for it. But although you did it just once, I did it like, what, 4 times, 5 times? How many countries?
Well, I guess but it gets easier for you, I'd say, right?
I don't know what you mean, but yes.
Well, because you know what shows you're doing that night. For me, it was
yeah.
Okay, so let's explain to people how it works. Oh,
yeah,
you have fittings
and then, yeah.
So the night before, they fly you into wherever the ship is.
Yes.
You stay at a nice hotel. You're like, oh my God, I'm living the best life ever. This, you know.
Yeah, I still think that it's even those first days, I consider it to be a great life anyways. Yeah.
Well, so I have friends who their ship was in Dominican Republic. And they were staying in like resorts because it's the same stipend no matter where you're going. And they mm-hmm. the company sets this all up. But my first time was in Las Palmas.
Yeah.
Gran Canaria.
Yeah.
It was a nice hotel.
Was it the hotel that was on the beach and the restaurant is in the other building?
Yes, but we arrived super late at night, so.
That's bad, yeah. We stayed there twice and we have like a... Last time, especially, that contract that we embarked on your contract, we stayed the whole day.
Oh, and that's then so nice. I hardly even got to, like, really visit Las Palmas because I always had IPM.
Oh.
We'll talk about that. So basically, everybody wakes up, or if you aren't staying the night, then you just immediately go to the port authority.
Genau.
They will then look at your passports and make sure that you're allowed in the country. Then they look at... You also have, like, a huge folder of, like, stuff. Like, certificates and things and vaccines, depending on where you're going. And all this stuff in your contract. And, like, there's just a lot of documents. So, you're with your luggage. You're just wheeling it around all over the place. Finally, you get to the ship. Then you wait in line. People who are disembarking that day from the ship, who you're replacing... They're leaving while you're going in.
Yep.
Usually early in the morning. Then you wait in line at the crew purser. So the purser, there's a passenger purser, I believe, and a crew purser. Depending on the ship, there's multiple. Ours was a small ship, so we had, I think...
Two. One for us and chief crew purser. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go to the crew purser, and again, if it's a huge changeover, you're in line with like 50 people or more, or, you know, maybe it's just 10, but you have to wait in line, give them all of your documents. You leave your passport with the crew purser, because when you go on a cruise ship, this is regardless of whether you're a passenger or a crew member, your passport is always taken by the purser to keep it safe. Then... You go to an induction.
You have to go to an induction.
Just basically another like refresher training course.
Multiple.
And you have a bunch of those that week. You have to go to...
If it is your first time.
Yeah, you have to go to the...
Later when you come back, like second or third time, you can skip one. Yeah. I think in an environmental or something, yeah.
Yes, there's a few that you can... Yeah. So while this is happening, depending on what you are doing, most people immediately start their duties. So if you've never been on a ship before and you're in housekeeping, you're immediately going into your training, or you're immediately just going to start replacing the person who you replaced. Yeah. For the theater people, we have costume fittings. We have dress rehearsals. I mean, I'll talk more about my personal experience later, and same with Alex, because it's different every time, I'm sure. And then, so you have these inductions, you have your job that you have to do. And that's just taking up your whole time. Then you have to learn where where you are on the ship, which is also disorienting because it's your house, but also your workplace. And where do I eat? How does anything work? So it's very chaotic. And then eventually you go to sleep. So yep. I guess, Alex, how was this experience for you? Your first time, and then once it got easier, how did that go?
So first time was, well, it was hectic, like, for everybody, but a guy who I mentioned, Mirko, was a percussionist in our band. So he was staying from the previous contract from his band. So we were originally five-piece band, mm-hmm. but for Kara class, it was a six-piece band, so we didn't have one extra person. Their band was disassembling. Mm-hmm. They're not existing anymore. And we got in touch with him. I mean, he's my friend anyway, before all this. So he stayed on the ship and he was in my cabin, or I was going into the cabin with him. So when you're in the band, you're sharing the cabin. Rob was from show ensemble. That means she's posh and she has her own cabin.
Well, I'm a vocalist. If you're anybody else, like a dancer or an artist, which to me is much harder.
Yes, I the soloist.
The vocalists get their own cabin, but all of the other performers share.
Yes. So
also, if you're an officer, you also get your own cabin.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they just get nicer and nicer.
Yes. So he was there on the ship. Obviously, he was there like two and a half months already. And he did prepare me for a lot of things. I was sending him messages and he was explaining to me, like, you know, where can I buy things? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came, he just like welcomed us on the gangway. And basically, I stuck to him for the first few days, which is mm-hmm. which was very helpful because he showed me the ship and everything. So I got it easy, let's say. But it was still, I didn't lost myself like on the ship actually like once. Not even on the big ship when we were kind of stuck and we got changed from the ship to the ship.
Yeah.
I guess like when you do a few contracts or at least one, I guess like the same thing for the airport, everything is marked. Everything is by logic. It's not like mm-hmm. by intuition. Maybe this is right here and maybe this is left. No.
Mm-hmm.
Everything mm-hmm. is like some kind of a pattern. So you can find yourself like usually. And especially if you kind of get stuck somewhere on the ship, you're not afraid to like just look around and just go for some kind of a door.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about AIDA, which is different from a lot of other companies, is if you're a crew member, you are allowed to walk anywhere on the ship except the engine room, which obviously is just dangerous. They talk about it in safety training.
Yeah.
The engine room and the bridge, because the bridge is where the officers and the captain are. So it's like, you know, their private area. And there's a few, like, where the officers sleep and stuff.
Yeah, but that's
it. That you're not allowed to go. But there's always signs.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And if you're on a small ship like Kara, which Alex has mentioned the sizing and everything in our near-death experience episode, once you've been somewhere once, you kind of like know where you are because it's so small. Some of the really big ships, though, the crew quarters all look the same.
Yeah.
It's just like blue tile everywhere. Like, and it gets confusing. Every corridor looks similar, but it makes sense, as you were saying. It's just understanding patterns, and you also have a map that they give you on the first day. So.
Yeah, and also for me personally, I guess it's not for everybody, but for me it was kind of when we got stuck because of the corona thing, we mentioned that earlier in one mm-hmm. of the episodes. So when we got stuck and changed like few ships, and we went to from the small ship to the, like the bigger ship, I was not afraid to like explore or like to go into the like, let's say, unknown, because I knew that mm-hmm. like by logic and by just looking at the signs and by kind of knowing in what part of the ship I am, I will find my way. And mm-hmm. I always did. So
yeah. So daily life on a cruise ship depends on what your position is. So we can only really speak to being in the entertainment department, which honestly is the best because your days are completely free for the most part. For most, I guess I'll start with like for the theater, like what our life is like. So you wake up, every meal has a time to it because you can't have your own food on the ship unless it's packaged goods. So you can have like snacks and stuff, but you can't really have meals. You have to have the meals in the crew mess, which is like the cafeteria. And there's timed sections of the day where you can eat. So morning for us, I think, was like around like 6 to 8 was breakfast. So naturally for the performers, since you work at night, most people didn't go to eat until around like...
For the lunch?
Yeah.
11 till 1.
So I would usually, if I wanted to go out that day, I would like kind of skip breakfast and then I'd go out. You can always... leave the ship. You just have to go through security and you have like a card.
It's a crew card, yeah.
Outside, and while you're, because you don't have your passport with you.
Yeah.
So that's what allows you in, and a crew card allows you in and out of the ship, and you can also pay with it and stuff like that. But that's a whole other thing. If you don't have IPM, you can go out, and then you're allowed to go out for a certain amount of time until you have to be back in, and they tell you like when you're allowed to be out for how long. So I would usually go out, explore wherever we were that day, and then I would go at like 4 o'clock, eat dinner, and then go to the show, get ready for the show, do the show, leave the show. That would be like daily for me. And I guess now I should explain what IPM is before we go any further. There needs to be a certain amount of people on the ship at all times. So everyone is assigned a letter, and depending on what your letter is, you're in a certain group. So for example, I was letter A, and it kind of rotates on a schedule. So every 4 days, letter A, letter B, or letter C, or letter D have to stay on board in case of an emergency, which is not that bad because then you get to go out like all those other 3 days of the cycle.
Yeah.
But like I was explaining before, there were certain towns that if you're on a cycle of just going every 2 weeks the same exact cruise, even though things shift, sometimes you still always miss a certain town or a certain city that you're visiting because it's always IPMA on Las Palmas Day. Yeah. So that's how that goes. So for you, Alex, what would be like your daily routine?
So... we are playing until 12, and then if we go to a bar or crew bar on the ship and we go have fun or something, like let's say go out, right, then I don't sleep until...
Figuratively, yeah.
Yeah, or if we have overnight, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Normal stuff, because you're playing until 12, so midnight, you can't really sleep until like 3 or 4. Regardless of what you do, especially you got in that kind of habit. So that means that you're waking up, if we are on the sea or I cannot go out, I will wake up, I go have a lunch. So for breakfast, I didn't, mm-hmm. I usually per contract, I will have 1 or 2 breakfasts. That's it. So basically lunch, sometimes... depends of like what city it is and what I want to see. I will go, like when we went out in Recife, it was fairly early, I would say. It was maybe around 11 or something. I didn't have even lunch because we were eating out. So let's say I wake up around 10, have coffee before lunch, like
going out.
Yeah, let's say, yeah. And then I will go out. If it is like a nice city, you go as fast as you can, so by 12 you're out. And then depending when ship is leaving, we have to get back hour and a half before it leaves, so you have always the time to see. So I will be out until like 4, 5, 6 p.m. It depends of the city. If there is nothing to see really, then you're like 2 hours and you're back.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually I will go to gym, have dinner, and then I will go to theater to watch something because you guys had the double shows, so I could have...
Mm-hmm. And we would start before you guys started playing.
Yeah. You have show at least at the same time as we are starting to play. And then after that, like, I would like slowly prepare myself, or just like have a nap or something, because for some reason, like, on the ship you can like nap a lot, even though
Well, it's
that.
because when you're in your cabin, it's literally so dark because you're in the underbelly of the ship. So when you close your door and the lights are out, it doesn't matter, unless you have a porthole, of course, but most people don't.
Yeah.
So if you close your door, it can be any time of the day. I would always joke, is like, it could be noon right now, or it could be midnight.
Yeah.
It looks the same in the cabin.
Yeah, and I will like watch the show, go to the cabin usually to like nap, just to like refresh myself, let's say. And then we had like from 9:15, 9:30, we will have like show, and then like we do like two sets and break in between, and until like 12. That's like my usual day. It varies if I have IPM or not, or if it is the city that I want to see.
Yes.
That's like a normal day. So what we didn't mention for the first day, you also have a drill. So it's a safety drill
with the passengers.
Yeah, it's mandatory. They have to do the first day of their cruise. They have to do a drill with us. So it's basically like for if anything goes bad with the ship. So, and AIDA has a policy that we are doing it like two times a cruise, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even three. It was.
Well, because we would do it even without the passengers. So
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. So first day around 8 p.m. would be all of that Rob mentioned, like the craziness. And on top of that, you have drill, and then you're running to the stage, at least in our perspective. So
at the beginning of every cruise, you also do that. So for our first day, of course, that was really messy.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was working with people that had been on a ship before, that they were like, oh no, this is going to be bad. Because for us, it's not the same on every ship, but on our ship, it just happened to be that it was at 8. So therefore, our shows would start around the same. I think they would start around 9.
9, yeah.
But you have to do makeup and hair and everything. So we would have like lipstick on, but we would be wearing our muster station uniforms and like our life jackets and such. Yeah. And we just looked ridiculous because we had like full makeup on, but we were wearing like sweatpants. Because you have to wear long sleeves and long pants because if it were for the drill, because if you were to have to go in the water, it's important to stay warm, even if you're and then or protect your skin. There's like there's a lot. You learn all about it in the training.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, but yeah.
So before we let you guys go for the first part of our series, I thought that since Alex has been doing this longer than me, maybe any I don't know, just start talking.
Wow, that was what the
horrible lead-in. That's what it was.
You could have asked me like what I'm grateful for or what good did I take from working on a cruise ship and
yeah Alex, yeah, that's what I just asked. Just answer the question. God.
For me, the most valuable thing is that you get to see the world, at least there in our positions.
Yeah.
So they're basically paying you to see the world. For me, that was like the one of the many things that I like about that job. Also, people, I mean, that you meet are from all over the world. And you kind of change your perspective of what you think about certain nationalities, let's say, or you know, everybody has some kind of prejudice, and you start. I think you become more open to differences, to like you embrace it, and especially on Kara, because it's a small ship.
Yeah,
mentality is between crew. Mentality is like like to say it's like private party mentality, so you can approach everybody. If you're in a crew bar, you know, you can speak to everybody.
It's one big family.
Yeah, even people like So you have captain, you have staff captain, depends on the people, but we have
Yeah.
one staff captain that will come into crew bar, buy us drink, or you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that aspect of like seeing the world, I've been to so many, in crazy places. Even we on our contract together, we went from,
Yeah.
so basically from the
Top of Africa to the top of Norway.
yes, yeah. So from the equator basically to all the way to the north, to far
Yeah.
north,
Yeah.
of Europe, or yeah. And that was in span of like 2 weeks or even
Oh,
less.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it was 2 weeks. And
yeah.
it's amazing.
Yeah. And that kind of it changed you. I mean, it's
Yeah.
either for you, it's not for everybody, but yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I did it. I think that I did it at the right time. Just like some things just fell into
Yeah.
place. Yeah, so
I think I chose the worst time because I just started loving it and then the pandemic hit.
yeah.
On the same sort of like insightful note that you've just left us on. Don't underestimate seasickness. Because I went in and I thought, oh, there's no way that the first day I'm gonna feel that seasick. And the ship was like just started moving and I was on the ground because I was so sick. But then also, don't underestimate the power of your mind because, like, within like 3 weeks, even on like even in rough weather, I was able to really just I didn't even need to use the drugs. I just wasn't seasick anymore because it's totally mind over matter. And isn't that how life works? Just a little joke. I know it's not insightful at all, but I figured I'd leave it on a light note.
Anyway.
If you're worried about being seasick, expect to be seasick, but also don't let it ruin your time. Because, as you said, you get to see the world. That's the most important part.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. We have a lot to talk about in our next episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @ we have a lot to talk about podcast. Until next time, ta-da!